Today's shiur is a Masechta Yoma Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Ches Amid Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Yomid, where the Gemara returns to explain the Mishnah with the words Lelishkas Parhedrin. We learnt in the opening Mishnah of our Masechta that Shivas Yom Kaidim Yom HaKippurim Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibesoi Lelishkas Parhedrin, that the Kohen Gadol was separated 7 days before Yom Kippur to the Lishkas Parhedrin. He was separated from his home, from his wife. And the Gemara now will explain how this chamber received its name of Lishkas Parhedrin. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, and the Mesoros Hashatz puts in the words Omar. We learned in the Braisa, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi Lishkas Parhedrin hoisa, was this in fact called the Lishkas Parhedrin, v'haloi Lishkas Balvati hoisa. It was actually called the Lishkas Balvati. Now, what do these names mean? First of all, these were Greek names, and Lishkas Parhedrin means the chamber of the appointed ones, and Lishkas Balvati means the chamber of the aristocrats. In other words, the Rishonim point out that, let's begin with Parhedrin. Parhedrin was the name of appointed officials. As Rashi says, they were appointed by the king, and they went around and they would make sure that the weights and measurements in the marketplace were accurate. If you look in the Rabbeinu Chananel, around 15 lines down, he explains it as Hamemuna Lishvakim, those who were appointed to go around the marketplaces. Balvati, on the other hand, Rashi tells us that it's Lashon Sarim. It's a Lishka of Sarim, of princes, aristocrats. The Rabbeinu Chananel tells us that it's Chachmei Ha'etza, that these were wise men. And Rabbeinu Yaakov says they were also men of wealth. So together, based on all these Rishonim, it symbolizes aristocrats. So the Gemara's question is, why do we call it in our Mishnah Lishkas Parhedrin, which is the chamber of lowly appointed people, when in actuality it was the Lishka of aristocrats? And therefore the Gemara says that you have to know some history to answer this question. Ella, b'tchila ha'yakarin oisa Lishkas Balvati. You're right. In the beginning it was called the Lishkas Balvati, because when Klal Yisrael was on a high madrega, it was referred to as the Lishka of the aristocrats. Because in the second Beis HaMikdash, as we mentioned yesterday, concerning Rav Chanina Skana Kahanim, that in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they used to give money and they used to buy the Kohana Gedoyla, as Rashi says, to the kings of the Beis Hashmonai. And actually in history it would seem that even before and after the Malachim from the Beis Hashmonaim, they also used to buy this position. So, and umachlif and oisar kol shneim oisar chaydish, they used to change, since, as Rashi says, these were Rishoyim, and they didn't live out the year. They would die during Yom Kippur, and they would then appoint or buy, someone else would buy the position of Kohen Gadol, and he would want to outdo his previous Kohen Gadol, so he would refurbish, he would build anew this Lishkas Parhedrin. And this was comparable to Kiparhedrin Halalu Shemachlif Moisom Kol Shneim Oser Chodesh. These low appointed officials who were appointed by the government to go around in the marketplaces, as we mentioned before, to check the weights and measurements for accuracy, they in fact were appointed every 12 months, as we will see in the Gemara later. And so with the Kohanim Gedolim, who used to buy the position of Kohen Gadol, They used to change, they were changed every 12 months as well because they didn't last the year. They died in Kippur. So that's how it came about that this Lishkas Balvati that used to be one of the aristocrats when Klal Yisrael was on the right level, later when they went on a lower level and the Kohen Gadol was purchased, it was called Lishkas Parhedrin, to remind us that they didn't last out the year, just like Parhedrin also used to get switched every 12 months. So that gives us the history of the name of Parhedrin. And now the Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah, which has to do with Trumas and Maisris, and we're going to see in this Mishnah also a reference to the Parhedrin. Says the Mishnah, Tanan Hasam, we learned over there, which is a Mishnah in Demai, Hanachtumin, the bakers, loy chayvoy son chachomim lahafrish, ela trumas meiser v'chala. Bakers were only obligated when they would buy their flour from Amaratzim, they would only have to separate trumas and meiser and chala. Whereas regular people would also have to separate other things, but the Nachtumim, for example, they would have to separate Meiser Sheni. The Nachtumim were not responsible to separate Meiser Sheni. Let us look at the bottom Rashi to give us a little background of this Mishnah. Says Rashi, HaNachtumim HaLoichen Tvua Me'am Oretz. If they took, they used to take grain from the Am Oretz, Limcher Pas L'Shuk, and then they would make bread out of it and they would sell the bread to the marketplace. So the Chachamim did not obligate them to bring Meiser Sheni of Demai. Demai is Tvua that's taken from an Amoritz. And as we're going to see on the next Amud, Rabbi Yochanan Goyen Gadol made a investigation and he found out that the Amoratzim were only giving Truma Gedola, the regular truma to the kohen, but they were not giving many of them. Although the Gemara says Roiv Amaratzim did give Meiser, but there was a significant minority which did not give other of the Matnas Kohuna to the kohenim, to the Leviim. So therefore, Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai was misakin that if you buy from an Amoretz, you have to separate Trumas and Meiser, you have to separate the Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, Meiser Oni. However, although a regular person had to give Meiser Sheni, the Nachtum, the bakers, as we will see the reason in the next Amid, they were not obligated to bring Meiser Sheni of Demai to Yerushalayim. Ela Trumas Meiser Shuachim Emeo, they were only obligated to give Trumas Meiser, which is 1 out of 100, because the Jew has to give Meiser to the Levi, which is 1/10, and from that, the Levi has to give Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. So that the Nachtum was obligated to give. Also, he was obligated to give Chala. Yitin l'koyin, aval shar kol adam, everybody else, yitilu alav l'halitz ma'asheni sheltamayah, the Yerushalayim. They, any other person was obligated to give ma'asher sheni to Yerushalayim. U'ma'asher rishon u'ma'asher ani, ma'frishon ha'ison, used to separate it, vein noisnin. You didn't have to give it to the Levi or to the ani. As we'll see in the Gemara further, the Levi and the ani would have to prove, ma'amaitzim rechaver olav araya, prove that the Amoritz that I bought from has not already given Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. So I have to separate it to take off the Din Tevel. But as far as the Mominus, the Kechiyev of Gezel, perhaps I'm stealing on that, proved that it wasn't given. Uben Nachtum Chavra Askin. So Rashi says we're talking about over here not a Nachtum who himself is an Amoritz, but it's rather a chaver. That means he is scrupulous about the dinim of Trumas and Maestris. Umitarech shehu roch galimchor kol shah, since he has to always sell his breads, he kilu alav she'en etzark lavashal of Maestris she'en yishal demai laos yushalayim by liftoi. So they were makel, and we'll see more about the exact reason that they were makel on the next Amid, that he does not have to bring up the Maestris she'en to Yushalayim of demai, or to be poded and spend the money in Yerushalayim. So let's go back to the Gemara. Tanana, so we learned in the Mishnah Demai. Hanachtumim loichai voisun chacham lahafrish ella trumas meiser v'chala. The bakers are only mechuyif to separate trumas meiser and chala. So it doesn't mention anything else. And now the Gemara is going to go through all the other matonais that are usually given to a kohen levi. What about them? Bishlam a truma gedol loy. It doesn't mention in this Mishnah that the baker has to give truma gedola. It just mentions trumas meiser and chala. The sanya we learned in a brisa as we turn to daf tesamid aleph. Lefi shesholach b'chol gvulei Yisrael. We learned in a Gemara in Saita on daf memches that Yoichel the kohen gadol sent out an investigation in all the boundaries of Yisrael. V'ro, and he saw she'ein mafrishin ela truma gedola b'vad, that the amaratzim were only separating truma gedola alone. The reason that they separated only truma gedola alone is because they were under the mistaken impression. They knew that tevel, if somebody eats tevel, which is tvua, from which trumas and maaser have not been separated, that is punishable with misa b'dei shemayim. And they didn't want to get the punishment, a person should die before the age of 60, misa b'dei shemayim. So they were under the mistaken impression that once you separate the truma and give it to the kayin, then the onesh of misa b'dei shemayim falls away. So they used to give truma gedola, that they were careful in, but they were, the unknown to them, if you have, for example, trumas meiser, and you eat that, you don't give it properly to the kayin, that's also punishable with misa b'dei shemayim. So that they weren't careful a lot. So, however, truma gedola, they were careful. So that explains why the nachtum doesn't have to, when he buys from the amoritz, the demai, he doesn't have to separate truma gedola, because truma gedola, they were careful about. It also doesn't say that he has to separate Meiser, Rishna, Meiser, Ani, Nami, Loi. Why? As we explained before, Hamaitz, Mechaver, Alvaraya. Because that's only a mumanistic adin. There is, in fact, no Isser, there is no Oinish of Misa B'dei Shemayim concerning the Meiser, Rishna, and the Meiser, Ani. So therefore, the only thing is that you have to separate it. That takes away the Isser Tevel. As far as me stealing your money, the Nachtum, who has this Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani, which he bought from the Amoretz, he can tell the Ani, prove to me that this Amoretz didn't give it. Once you prove it to me, then I'll have to give it to you. And the same with the Levi. But until such time that you could prove to me conclusively that he has not given, I will assume he has given. And it's up to you to prove. So that's why we didn't tell the Nachtum, go ahead and give Meiser Rishon and give Meiser Ani to the Levi and to the Ani respectively, because they have to prove it. All you have to do is separate it, and you really could eat it yourself. Because, in fact, a regular Yisrael is allowed to eat. There's no Isser for him to eat it as punishable with Misa B'dei Shemayim. So that's why I didn't mention that the Nachtum has to give the Meiser Rishon to Meiser Ani. But what's bothering the Gemara is Ella Meiser Sheni. Why doesn't he have to give Meiser Sheni? As Rashi says, Meiser Sheni, let's just finish the few words of the Gemara, Nifrishu separated, Venisku, and bring it up to Yerushalayim, v'nichlulu be'Yerushalayim, and go and eat it in Yerushalayim. As Rashi says, you're dealing with an Isser over here. You're dealing with an Isser of Laisucha Lechel B'Sharecha. You're not supposed to eat Meiser Sheni unless you redeem it, but otherwise you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, or be poded and spend the money in Yerushalayim. So if so, the question is raised, Yafrishu, separate it, Kedei L'Sakan Tivloi, Hoyol v'loik psidi be'midi. You're not going to lose anything. Do'ainu nafshayu hoder ka'achlu lebi Yerushalayim. You yourself are going to eat the Meiser Sheni Yerushalayim. And you're going to take away the Isser of Laisucha Lechel B'Sharecha. So why didn't the Mishnah over there in Demai mention they have to give Trumas Meiser and Chala Trumas Meiser, we explained, because there's an Isser punishable with Misa B'dei Shemayim. So that, of course, the Nachtum has to separate and make sure that the kohen gets it. But the Mishnah doesn't mention anything about Meiser Sheni. Why not take away the Isser of eating it in Yerushalayim, of not eating it in Yerushalayim? Amar Ula, the answer is, and here we get to the Parhedrin. That's how this comes into our sugya here. Mitoich she Parhedrin alolu chayftan my son kol yud beis chaydesh, because all 12 months of the reign of that particular official who was sent to make sure that the measurements are correct, one of his jobs was to collect taxes as well. So what he used to do is he used to hit them or harass them for his 12-month tenure, and he would tell them, Va'oimrim lahen, they used to tell the bakers, michru bezul, sell it cheap. So there's different explanations of how this scam worked, but one of the ways is that they would say, let's say, for example, the regular bread cost $1 a loaf, so they would tell and let's say there was normally 25 cents tax per loaf, and the baker would earn 75 cents. So the official would tell him, no, you sell it. The government's going to say we're going to say you should sell it for 50 cents. And we're going to make a 50 cent tax, and the government will get their 25 cent tax. And who will get the difference? The official. So he wanted the nachtum to keep the price at the regular level of $1 a loaf, but you're only going to get 50 cents out of it, the government will get 25 cents, and the corrupt official will get 25 cents. So since they used to harass them in this way, so he already was only making 50 cents on the loaf instead of his normal 75 cents on the loaf. So therefore, lo yitrichunu rabbanon, the rabbanon will not matrich him to go and separate ma'aser sheni. On that, they were somech, as Rashi says, two lines from the bottom, v'somchu loimer sheroi v'amoritz ma'aser sheni. On that, since this whole inyan of separating from a amoritz is from Yochanan Kohen Gadol, it's a din d'rabbanan. So because of the monetary problems that the Nachtum had from the government officials, so they made a exception here, a dispensation to him, and they said, we're going to be now soymech that Roiv Amoritz are ma'asrenein, and you don't have to, we can be soymech that Ma'aser Sheni was taken, and you don't have to bring it to Yerushalayim. So meanwhile, we saw that the Parhedrin used to have their office for 12 months, and that's why it was called Lishkas Parhedrin, because the Kohanim Gedolim used to die within the year, and they were similar to Parhedrin who kept their job only for 12 months. Every 12 months they established new Parhedrin. Now the Gemara says, what actually does this word Parhedrin mean? My Parhedrin? Pursi. Rashi says, Pekidei HaMelech, these are the appointed ones by the king. Amar Rabbi Bar Rechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. My Dechsev, what is the Pshat in the Pasuk which says, Yiris Hashem Taisav Yamim, Ushnois Rasham Tekzarna, that if a person has years of Hashem, his days can be lengthened, the years of a Rasha can be shortened. So Pashup Shat in the Pasuk, the Marsha says, is that although every person when he comes to this world has a Ketz, how long he's supposed to live, but if he's a tzaddik, he can actually add to his years, and if he's Chas Shalom a Rasha, he can subtract from his years, and he can die earlier than his allotted time was supposed to be. That is the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. However, we're going to explain this legabe the base Samigdash the Rishon and Sheni. Yiris Hashem Taisav Yomim Zem Migdash Rishon. That refers to the first base of Migdash Shomad Arba Meis Vesher B'Shanim. That stood for 410 years. V'leishim Shiboy Ella Yud Ches Kohanim Gedolim. There were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim that served during the Bayis Rishon. So each Kohen Gadol had a long time in office as a Kohen Gadol. Ushnais Rasham Tikzarna, who does that refer to? Zeb Migdashani. Sha'ama Dalid Meis Vashim Shan. It stood for 420 years. Vishimshu Bayashim Shlosh Meis Kahanim, and there were more than 300 Kahanim in office. Say Mehem Mem Shana Shashima Shimon HaTzadik. Take away from those 420 years, the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik. Because he was a tzaddik, he didn't die every year as the others did. Ushmoinim sheshimish Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and the 80 years that Yochanan Kohen Gadol served, who unfortunately at the end we know that he became a tzduki, but he was a tzaddik for those 80 years. Eser Shishimish Yishmael ben Pavi or ben Pachi, the 10 years that Yishmael ben Pavi served as Kohen Gadol, va'amrilo, and some say, Yud Aleph, the 11 years Shishimish Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, that Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim was Kohen Gadol. So I'm not sure if the va'amrilo is, instead of Rabbi Yishmael ben Pavi, change that for Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, or it's an addition to Yishmael ben Pavi, there was also Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim. So either way, let's make the cheshbon, for example, only Yishmael ben Pavi. So what do you have? They have Yoichan and Kohen Gadol is 80 years, Shimon HaTzadik is 40 years, is 120, and Yishmael ben Pavi was 10 years. So that's a total of 130 years. So if you subtract 430 minus 130, you get 290. And how many Kohanim Gedolim were there in that time? There were over 300, even if you take away the three or four Kohanim Gedolim that we're mentioning now. So it comes out that you have 290 years for 300 people. So each Kohen Gadol means he was less than a year. And if you take into consideration also Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, 11 years, so then you have 420 minus 141 years. That gives you a total of 279 years. So certainly every Kohen Gadol was in position less than a year. Now it's interesting, we have over here in the first wide line that in Bayis Rishon there were Yud Ches Kohanim Gedolim. And actually, there were from Aaron till the last Kohen Gadol at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, which was Yohid Sadok, there were a total of 23 Kohanim. And the Mefarshim grapple here exactly with the cheshbon of 18 Kohanim. If you look in the big bottom Tosfos here, V'lo Shimshu Bayal Yud Ches Kohanim, it says that the Revoah is Goyrish Shmoyne Kohanim, not 18 Kohanim, but rather 8 Kohanim. Because if you look in the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim, it counts the Kohanim that were during the Bayis Rishon. Azariah, Ashakian Bebayis, Ashabana Shleima, he was the Kohen Gadol in the time of Shleima. And then you have Amariah, and Achitov, Tzadik, Shom, Chalkia, Azriah, Sarah, V'yait Tzadik. Now Yait Tzadik was the one who went into Golis. So the Revoah says that if you count up from Azariah until Sarayah, you have 8 Kohen. We won't count the last Kohen, who is Yait Tzadik, who went into Golis. So he says instead of 18, 8. However, the Tosfos says, Omnam, Bechol HaSvarim, Ubesifri, Ubirushalmi, Garsinin, Yud Ches Kohanim, 18, like we have in our Gemara. V'nirali Lakan Gis HaSvarim, V'tes Kohanim Gedolim Hayu Ad Yait Tzadik. If you count from Azariah till Yait Tzadik, including Yait Tzadik, you have 9. And then he says, if you count the Skan Kohen, every Kohen Gadol had a Skan Kohen. 9 times 2 is 18, so then it works. However, if you look at the Grah here, the Grah has a different cheshbon, and his girsa is El Shneim Aser. But be it as it may be, either way, there was either 18 or 8 or 12, but certainly every Kohen Gadol was in a position for many, many years. Where? In Bayis Rishon. So on him goes the pasuk Yiras Hashem Taisav Yamin. Then they were Yorei Hashem, so they had longevity. However, in Bayis Sheni, where the Beis Hamikdash was 420 years, but there were over 300 Kohanim Gedolim, each one had less than 1 year, after we minus Yoichan and Kohen Gadol and Shimon HaTzadik, and their Mekayim the Pasuk, Ushnais Rishon Tiktzarna. Now, there is here a Bach, an important Hagoyis HaBach, and the Bach says, the Bach has what the Ayin Yaakov's gear, so Amar Rabbi Yoichan ben Tarsa, V'chol Kach Lama, why did this happen? And the Bach puts it actually into our Gemara, that it's missing in our Gemara. Lefisha Yoichan Hashem B'damim, because they bought the Kohen Gadol in the second Bayis HaMikdash for money. The Amar of Asi, Tarkava the Dinri Ailele Marta Bas Baises, Marta, the daughter of Baises, brought up an amount of money to Yanai Malka, the Ukmele Yeshua Ben Gamla Bekani Ravi. She said, here's money, and we want you to put in Yeshua Ben Gamla to be a Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa says that this was the reason why they were corrupt. They bought the position. They died every Yom Kippur, another Kohen, and that's why they lasted for less than a year in office. And based on this, Bach and the Ein Yaakov, it'll be very good what we have the next Gemara. The Gemara says, and as we're up to Rav Lozer ben Charsim, here we put in the Bach with Rav Yochanan ben Tarsa, and it's very good that the next Memra is also Omer Rav Yochanan ben Tarsa. Now it fits in very well. We're saying another Memra of Rav Yochanan ben Tarsa. Agav Urcha, we find in the Psikta Rabosi. Why did he get this name Rav Yochanan ben Tarsa? Tarsa is means a cow. Why was he called Rabbi Yochanan, the son of a cow? Because he became a ger, he was a goy. And he became a ger as a result of a cow. Because a Jew sold him a cow, and when it came Shabbos, the cow didn't work. And the goy thought that he had been cheated. He bought a cow to work for 7 days, it only worked for 6 days. And the Jew whispered into the cow's ear that now you belong to a goy. You were being a Shomer Shabbos. Now you can be a Mechal Shabbos because I don't own you anymore. As long as I owned you, I'm not allowed to do work with you on Shabbos. But now that you're owned by a goy, you can do work on Shabbos. And the animal started to work. So when this goy found out that a cow could have seichel and feel that it's Shabbos and he can't work, so he said, so certainly I should be Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He became a ger, and his name was Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa, since Gershon is Gair, Kekotin Shenayla Dami. A Ger, a Goy who becomes a Ger is like being born again, so he was considered born again as a result of Tarsa, as a result of this cow. What does he say concerning the Bias Rishon and Bias Sheni? Om Rabbi Yochanan Tarsa, Neima Chorva Shila. First he's not going into Bias Rishon and Bias Sheni, he goes into a previous Mishkan. After the Mishkan was in Gilgal, it was for 369 years in Shiloh, and then it got destroyed. What was the Avera that brought the destruction of the Mishkan Shiloh? Mipnei Shehoyba Shnei Dvorim. There were two Averas. Gili Arias. There was Znus. There was people were engaged in Gili Arias in relationships that were forbidden by the Torah. Ubezoyin Kachim. And they also embarrassed, we were Mevaza, the Karbonis. Where is an example of each? Gili Arias, the Siv, we find by the B'nai Eli. This refers to Chofni and Pinchas. Eli was Zaken Miyoid. He was 98 years old at that time. V'shamas kol asher yasim banav l'chol Yisrael. He heard everything that his children had done to Klal Yisrael. V'es asher yishkivun esan noshim atzoivis pesach oil moyed. They used to have relations with the women who were standing by the door of the oil moyed. The Afal Gav, we learned the Masechta Shabbos on the Nun Hamid Beis, the Amar Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rab Yochanan, and the Diktuke Seifrim says it's not Rab Yochanan, it should be Rab Yoinasin, as you find there in the Gemara and Shabbos. Kolo'aymer B'nai Eli Chotu Ein Elatoya. Whoever says that B'nai Eli did the gross Avera of having relations with married women, that you're mistaken. Chas V'Sholem, they wouldn't do such a thing. But Mitoich, as we turn to the Aftes Hamid Beis, because they caused the women. Chofni and Pinchas Rashi says, the women used to, after they gave birth, they had to bring karbonis, they had to bring kan, chattas and oila, the kan sipor, they had the kan kine yerledes, they had to bring in order to allow them to eat with kachim, and they, Chofni and Pinchas, hoyu bale gaiva, they were very haughty people, and voyu misrashlam bakravasam, they didn't bring the korban in a timely fashion. So the women were afraid to eat kachim or to go into the Beis HaMikdash if they're still tamei. So they were waiting. Always the halacha is that a baal has to wait with his korban, as the Gemara says in Masechta Saita. However, there's a usual amount of time, and then there's an abnormal amount of time. Here, what the B'nai Eli were causing was that the women would have to wait longer than the correct amount of time. They didn't go back to their husbands in a timely fashion. They caused that the women should not be osik with their husbands in the mitzvah puruvu. That's why it was considered, as we return to the Gemara, ma'ala alein ha'kosef ke'ilu shachvam. The Torah considers it as if they had relations with married women. On their madrega, this was tantamount to such an avera. The Ben Yoyada points out that they didn't do the gross avera, but they were leaders. And when people saw how they mistreated these women in this manner due to their haughtiness, so other people came to actually do the avera of having relations with a married woman. And there's just to conclude, Rav in the Masechta Shabbos on Hamid Bey says that Chofni in fact did the avera of living with an Eishes Ish. However, Pinchas did not. That's his shita. Our Gemara is going that both of them did not do the avera, but it's considered keilu shachvam. So that is the avera of Gili Arayis. That's one of the reasons that Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. What's the second avera? Bezoyin kachim. How were they bnei eli mevazer the kachim? The sieve, it says in the pasuk. So we're starting in the middle of the pasuk. What the pasuk says previously is that the kahanim would send their attendants, and they would come with a pitchfork, and they would put their three-pronged pitchfork into the meat of the shlomim. Min ha-Torah, what are they entitled to? Chazah v'shoik, the breast and the thigh, and then the bilum eat the rest, and there is the chalavim and avorim that are niktar on the mizbeach. However, they took more than they were supposed to. Whatever the fork, this three-pronged fork, would pick up out of the pot that they were cooking the kachim in, that belonged to the kahanim. It was gezel. They weren't entitled to that. That's one avera that they did with kachim. And besides that, gambeterem continues the pasuk. Gambeterem yaktirnas achelav, before the chelav could be nikrav on the mizbeach, ubo nara koyin, the attendant of the koyin would come, v'amar leisha zavech, he would tell the man who was sacrificing it, to no basu litzos a koyin, give me meat to roast for the koyin. V'layikach mucham basu v'vashal, I don't want to take cooked meat, ki imchai, I want raw meat that the koyin can go ahead and cook. Roast. V'yomer lava ish, so the man said back to the attendant of the kohen, "Kater yaktirin kayam achelav. Let us first do what you're supposed to do. Yes, you'll get it. Be patient. First, let's do the aktar of the chelav on the mizbeach for Hashem, and then the kachlo chakasher tav nafshcha. Then you can take whatever your heart desires." But on my loy, and the attendant said to the person who was making the hakrova, no, ki ata titein, I want it now. Vim loy lakachta b'chazokin, if you don't give it to me in a peaceful manner, I'll take it by force. So this was a bezoyin kachim that they would take more than they were supposed to, and they took it earlier before even Hashem. Vatehi chatas anurim gedala miyoides p'nei Hashem, ki niyatsu ha'anashim es minchas Hashem. They disgraced the mincha of Hashem by taking what's not entitled, they're not entitled to, and by also taking it before the haktorah on the mizbech. So because of Gili Arayis and Bezoyin Kachim, the Shiloh was destroyed. This next Gemara is also from Rab Yochanan ben Tarsa. Rab Yochanan ben Tarsa not only explains the destruction of Migdash Shiloh, he explains the destruction of the first base of Migdash and the second base of Migdash. Migdash reached from Neimachar. Why was the first base of Migdash destroyed? When they give old Vorm Shabbat, because of three Averis, Avodah Zorah, idolatry, Vigili Arayis, and Shrichas Damim, and murder. How do we know this? From the Pesukim. Avodah Zorah, the Sif. Ki kotzer amatzah mehishtareya. Because the couch is too short for enabling a person to stretch out, and the Bach puts in the end of the pasuk, which the Gemara will darshan in a minute as well. The pasuk concludes, v'amaseicha, and the cover, tzora kihiskanes. It's too narrow for one to curl oneself up in that cover. What is the meaning, my kotzer ha matzah mehistoreya? What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yoinesen, kotzer matzah zeh. This couch is too short. Mehistarer alav shnei reim keechad. That two friends can dominate one another as if they're one. So Rashi learns the second line of Rashi at the top, at the end of the line, Dorish Benutriken. He learns it as a contraction, that the word Mehistareya equals Mehistare Reya Echad. that one friend can dominate. In other words, that the two can become one. What does this mean? It means Hashem and Avodah Zorah. The friend, the Shnei Reim, is euphemistically, we're speaking about the Avodah Zorah. In Eretz Yisrael is not a place where you can have Hashem, the Shechina, and the Avodah Zorah together. What does it, and how the Rishash learns differently than Rashi, and he says that this word, Mistoreya, equals Shtei Reim. You can't have two friends together. Make a decision, either Hashem or the Avodah Zorah. Continues the pasuk Vamaseicha and the covering Tzara Kiskanes. What does that refer to? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Kimati Rav Yonason Lahaikrover. Rav Yonason came to this pasuk. Bechi, he started to cry. Amar, he said, Man Dichsivbe, concerning Hashem, about whom it's written, that Koines Kaneid, Meayam, that he made Kriyas Yamsuf, and he gathered like a mound together the waters of the sea, Nasis Lema Secha Tzara. So his rival is a mound of metal. That's who you're comparing to Hashem. Rashi says the word Tzara is the antagonist. Like we have the Chiasata Tzarata by Shmuel, Penina and Chana, so they were called Tzara to one another. Penina was a Tzara, she was another wife of Elkanah, and so too the Avodah Zorah is like the Tzara, the rival of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who is the rival of Hashem? A piece of metal. He started to cry when he read that pasuk. Where do we find that they had in the first place of English? Gili Arias, the Chsiv, Vayomer Hashem, Yan Ki Gavu Benois Tzion, because the daughters of Tzion were haughty, but Vatelachna to his garden, and they walked around with their necks stretched out, Umisakre Seinayim, and they were gazing at the young men, and enticing the young men, Holech V'tofav Telachna, they were walking like they were floating, Uberaglein with their feet, they would let out their poison. What does this pasuk exactly mean? Says the Gemara, Yanti Gavu Benois Tzion. What does that mean? Shehoyu Mahalchus Arucha B'Tzak Tzara. The tall woman wanted to gain attention. So not only was she tall to begin with, but she walked next to somebody very short. So obviously when the people saw them walking, she stood out prominently as compared to the short woman. The Telachna Tuyas Gorin, what does that refer to? Shayim Mahalchus became his kufa. They were going in an upright posture, stretching themselves out to draw attention to themselves. Umisakre Seinayim, what does that refer to? Davamalyan Kuchle Enayim. They filled up their eyes with makeup. And here we're taking the word misakrois and we're saying it's the same as the word sikra. Sikra is eye makeup. So they put eye makeup all over their eyes. Holoich v'tofah telachna, they were floating around. What does that mean? What does the pasuk mean? Shere mahalchus eke b'tzad gaido, they would put their heels next to their big toe. And they walked very slowly in front of the men. To entice them, uberagleim terchasna. What does that refer to? Am Rabbi Yitzchak Shem Mevias more of a farsman. They would bring the spices, myrrh and balsam. Umenich maaleim. They would put it into their shoes. And here the Bach says, umahalchois peshuke Yerushalayim. They would walk around the marketplace of Yerushalayim. Back to the Gemara, ukishemagiyes etz bachuri Yisrael, when they would come in front of the young men of the Jewish people, boyatois, they would kick, and here the Bach puts in the word bikarka, in the ground, umatizes aleim, they would spray the scent of the spices, would spray to the young men, umachnis ben yetzohara, the women would bring into the men, yetzohara, ke'eres, like the poison, the venom of bichos, which is an angry snake, or the Bach has the gears, the achna, which is a snake, and the reason the venom is called eches, and the eches, ayin chav samach, is the word kas, inverted, the letters ayin chav sof, inverted his kas. When a snake is angry, he lets out this venom. And what these women were doing, they were letting out the poison of attracting the men in such a way. So that led to Gilui Arias. How do we see the Rishvichas Dam in time of the first place of Mikdash? Tichsev, Vegam Dam Naki Shafach Menashe Harbe Me'oid. Menashe, who was a Russia, he spilled innocent blood. Either this refers to the blood of Yeshaya Navi, who Menashe killed, or it refers to the Avodah Zorah. He had a very heavy Avodah Zorah that they used to have to march around with, and people dropped dead from the weight of carrying that Avodah Zorah. Ad asher mila Yerushalayim peh lepeh, until he covered the streets of Yerushalayim from one end of Yerushalayim to the other, full of this dam. So either it refers to those people carrying the Avodah Zorah, or it refers to Yeshaya Navi, whose death was equal to blood being spilled all over Yerushalayim. Avol, and by the way, this is all represented in Pirkei Avos, Parakei Mishnah Yud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Golus bo lo ilam. The Mishnah over there enumerates why Klal Yisrael receives various punishments. The Mishnah says, why does Klal Yisrael deserve Golus? It comes to the world, Al Avoidus Kechavim, Val Gilia Rayas, Val Shvichas Damin, Val Shmita Soret. So we see here in our Gemara three of those four Averis listed which brought about the Golus of Churban Bayis Rishon. It says the Gemara further, Avol Migdashani. The first base of Migdash, I understand, they had Gilead, Rai, Shvichas, Dam, Avodah Zorah. But the second base of Migdash, they were learning Torah. They were doing mitzvahs. They were doing kind things. Gemilas Chasadim, why was it destroyed? Because they had hatred for no reason one to another. Which the Chafetz Chaim in the Hakdama to his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon points out that Sinas Chinam actually means that they spoke Lashon Hara one to another. And we should be zayicha that the Churban came, which we're still suffering from until today, of Sinas Chinam, we should be zayicha to Avas Chinam to correct that, which I think the OU has a campaign, good for nothing. So good for nothing, that's avas chinam, when a person is good to another Jew for no reason whatsoever. Lametcha, the fact that sin is chinam caused the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, and you needed three averas which caused the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. Lametcha, sheskula sin is chinam keneged sholesh averas, avodah zorah, gilui arayis, shvichas damim. The one avera sin is chinam is equal to the three averas of avodah zorah, gilui arayis, shvichas damim. This next line, the Gvur Sari says, is the conclusion of the words of Rabbi Yochanan, who we, Ben Torsa, who we have been learning about since Amud Aleph. His last line, the Bach learns differently here, we're going to go with the way we have it in our Gemara. This last line refers, in fact, back to the Bayis Rishon, although we just concluded with the Bayis Sheni. Rishoyim Hoyu, the people in the first base of Mikdash were Rishoyim. They depended their betachon on Hashem. Now the Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Yochanan ben Tarsa just meant with this statement. Asan leMikdash Rishon. This refers to the base of Mikdash Rishon. The Siv. Rasheha b'sharchet yishpatu. Their leaders used to do judgments with bribery. V'kayaneo and their kahanim who were poskim b'mechir yaru. For a fee they would make a psak. They would bend the halacha for a fee. When a VL and their prophets, bekesev iksumu, they would give divine revelations for money. But val Hashem yishanu, they depended on Hashem. That's what the Gemara is trying to prove. They had betachon lamer saying, "Alei Hashem ekabenu." We have Hashem. Lo yisavei aleinu ra. No evil will befall us. Lefikach, therefore, Hevi Alein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gimel Gzeiros. Hashem gave them three punishments. Keneged Gil Averis Shebiyadam. Because of their three Averis. It's a Machloikis Achorinim. Which three Averis are we talking about? Are we talking about Gil Yerai Shrikhzom Avaita Zorah, which was the cause of Churban Bayis Rishon? Or are we talking about the three Averis which were mentioned here in this Pasuk, which comes from Micha? What does the Pasuk say? Rasheha B'Sharchet Yishpatu. That's Avera number one. Avera number two, Kayaneh b'mechir yaru, and Avera number three is Neviyah b'kesef iksumu. There's a machloikis here in Achrayim, which three Averas? But whatever the three Averas are, they received three punishments. What are the three punishments? Shenemar. Lochem b'glalchem tzion sada tachrish. Tzion will be plowed over like a field. because of your averus. The Yerushalayim iantia, and Yerushalayim will turn into runes. The harabayas, the third averus, third einish, the third punishment is that the harabayas lebomis yar, that will become high mounds or stumps of trees that you find in a forest. There is a beautiful pshat over here from Rav Yosef Shaul Natanson's father, Rav Leibish Natanson, which is brought down in the Sefer of Rav Yosef Shaul Natanson, the Divrei Shaul, and he says, it appears from our Gemara that there, it says like this, they did three Averis, and they had Betochen, Lefikach, they got three punishments. What does the Betochen have to do with the three punishments? So he says a beautiful pshat. If you see a person doing one Avera, and then another Avera, and then a third Avera, one after the other. So you could say to yourself one of two things. Either that the person is an apikaris, he doesn't believe in the whole Torah anymore. So you happen to catch him not believing in the whole Torah. He did three Averas, one after the other. Or it could be no, he believes in Hashem, but he got one taiva, one desire, he did that Avera. A second desire, he did that. A third, he did that. So the Gemara says here beautifully, says the Gemara, Lefikach, because they had betochen, so they were not apikarsim. The difference between the two understandings of what this person did is he do one major avera of not believing in Hashem, and mimeili he does everything wrong, or no, he believes in Hashem, but he did three averas, three separate averas. So because they had betochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it comes out they didn't do one major avera that caused everything else, but rather they did three separate averas, therefore they're going to get, lefika, they're going to get three separate oinshim. There was no siniskinim in the first base of Migdash, only in the second base of Migdash. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, Megurei al cherev, those who fear the sword, Hoyu esami was my nation, Lachain svaikas yerech, you should hit your thigh in feeling bad about what happened. V'amar Rabbi Elazar said, Elu b'nei Adam sha'ayichu m'shayishin zemzed. This refers to people. They party with each other, they eat and drink. They look like their best friends one with another. And yet, behind their backs, v'doikrin zezeh b'chorvay shebol shayim. With their swords that are in their mouth, they speak bad about each other, and they cut into each other. They look friendly on the outside, but really they have sinus chinim and lashon hara with their mouth on behind the backs. So what do we see? This refers to the first base of Migdash. So the chayra, you see that there was sinus chinim even in the first base of Migdash. The Gemara answers, "Ahi ben asiyah yisrael." That was not the hamoinam. It was not the regular people. It was only the nesiyim. How do I know it was only the Nesiyim? The Chsiv, Zok v'hil ben Adam, cry out and wail, son of man, ki hi hoisabami, this was in my people. V'tanya, and we learned in a bright, Zok v'hil ben Adam, yachol l'chol. You would think that this aver of sinus chinim was to everybody. Talmud Lomer, the pasuk continues, that very same pasuk says, not only ki hoisabami, but it says, hi b'chol nesiyah Yisrael. This was caused by all the Nesiyah Yisrael. So that's the Gemara's Teretz. The Gemara's Teretz is that in the first base of Migdash, it was only the Nesiyah Yisrael who did it. In the second base of Migdash, it transferred over to everybody. And that's why it was Chorv in the second base of Migdash, because everybody was practicing Sinas Chidim. Rabbi Yoich and Rabbi Lazar Damir Tavayu. They both said, Rishoyin Nimshin is Galav, Voynim is Galakitzo. By the first ones, we see clearly, they had their Averas openly, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, so they also were revealed by the Navi Yirmiyahu, as Rashi brings down, that in 70 years, you're going to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, Shaloi Nizgal Avoinam, that was something that was hidden, the Sinas Chinim was hidden, they openly looked like friends, but behind their backs, they knifed each other, Loi Nizgal Akitzam, so their end was not revealed, and we live in the shadow of that mystery until today. In other words, when will Mashiach come? We didn't get a prophecy from Yirmiyahu that it will come in X amount of years, as happened by the first base of Migdash. And the Mefarshim here give various reasons why. Simple pshat, mida keneged mida. If you did your averes in public, so then I'll tell you and reveal to you when the gula will come. You do the averes b'seser, I'm going to keep hidden when the gula will come. Another pshat is that if you do an Avera B'Seser, it means that you have more Yira from people than from Hashem. Because if you would have equal Yira, you would do it in public. So the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, they did Averas, but they had equal. They weren't afraid of man more than Hashem. Second Beis HaMikdash, they were more afraid of man than Hashem. They deserve a worse Einish. And finally, the Mefarshim explain that a person who does an Avera in public, so he is makir his Avera. He knows I did something wrong, so it's easier for him to do tshuva. But a person, as we had in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara said, they were oiskim b'toira. They did mitzvahs. They did gemilas chasadim. Why was it nechrav? Because behind the back they spoke lashon hara. There was stinis chinam. So they think, I'm a good Jew. I have nothing to do tshuva on. That's harder to do tshuva. We still haven't done tshuva on it. The Mashiach has not yet come. The fingernail of the earlier generation was better than the stomach of the later generation. In other words, they were on a higher madrega than the later generations. Rish Lakish says the opposite. The later generations are better. Why? Even though we're persecuted by the Goyim, by the Gentiles, we still are learning Torah, so we're better. Amrlei, he responded back to him, no, you're wrong. I'll bring you a proof from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was built for the first generation, for our Beis HaMikdash Rishon, and we still don't have the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi to replace the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. They asked Rabbi Lazar, who's greater, the earlier, the first Beis HaMikdash people, or the second Beis HaMikdash people? Your answer is, look at the Beis HaMikdash. They got a second Beis HaMikdash back, and the second Beis HaMikdash did not get a third Beis HaMikdash back. So the Rishonim are greater than the Achronim. Ikkidi Yamri, some say, Amar Lahem, Eidechem Bira, your Eidish, your testimony is the Bira to Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara now relates a story with Rish Lakish. We all know that Rish Lakish was a head of the Ganavim. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that Rabbi Yochanan saw Rish Lakish was to become his brother-in-law swimming in the river. And he told him, Chelach li araisa, your talent should all go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was he doing at that time? Swimming. Now it seems that even after he became the great Rish Lakish, who became Rabbi Yochanan's Chavrusa, as the Gemara tells in Bava Metzia, but swimming he didn't give up. He still used to swim from time to time. And our Gemara tells us, Rish Lakish avisach biyadna, he was swimming in the Jordan. Also, Rabbi Baruch Hanna came, Yoav Leyada. So he was coming out of the water, he gave him his hand, and he pulled him up out of the water. Amalei, Rabbi Baruch Hanna said to Rish Lakish, who lived in Bavel, Elokah Sanina Lechu, Hashem hates people like you, you're from Bavel, because if all of you fellows who would have, were in Bavel, if you would have come to Eretz Yisrael when Ezra went up from the Golas of Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, we would have had the full Shechina in the second Beis HaMikdash, which we did not have. And he was blaming it on the fact that the Jews didn't all come up to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, if it's a wall, we will build on it a crown of silver. Vimdelasi, and if it's a door, Natsarolel Luach Erz, we'll put on a panel of cedar. What does that mean? The Pasuk means as follows. If you make yourself as a wall, as Rabbeinu Yochum explains, a wall is made from various bricks put together to make one piece as a wall. Meaning, if all the Jews would have united together to come up to Eretz Yisrael, Va'alisem, you would have made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, Kolchem, all of you be made Ezra, then, Nimshaltim Kekesev, then you would have been like silver, She'ein Rekav Shalapoy. In silver, it doesn't rot. But now that you came up like doors, as Rashi says, by a door, you have two doors in an entrance to a house, you can keep one door closed, one door open. Meaning that all Jews did not come up with Ezra together. Nimshaltim ke'erez, you're not like silver. You know what you're like? You're like cedar. And what's the difference between cedar and silver? Charlotte boy, because the worms, as we'll see, make a wreck of Charlotte boy. The rot come is Charlotte in it. It's affected by rot, which the worms cause, and it eats out the whole cedar. My eres, what is the rot that we are referring to in the cedar. Amarola sazmigard. This is a worm that eats out so you see the wood on the outside, but in the core of the wood, it's all eaten up by the worm. My sazmigard, the Gemara means to ask, what is the comparison concerning the Shechina that is absent from the second Beis HaMikdash as compared to the first Beis HaMikdash? What is the nimshal of this worm that ate up the wood of the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Rav Abba Baskoil. Today we don't have Shechina anymore. We don't have Nevuah, as the Gemara is going to say. Kedesanya, we went to Nebraisa. Mishemesh, Nevi'im Achroinim. Chag is a Chayim Malachi. When the three last Nevi'im died, Nistalka Ruach HaKadosh Mishrael. We don't have Nevuah, we don't have Ruach HaKadosh. But Vadayim Mishtam Shubba Baskoil. We still have a Baskoil. A voice comes out from heaven. The Mephorshim explained, why is it called Baskoil? Because it's like a female who's weaker than a male, not a Ben Koil, but a Baskoil. So it's a weaker type of revelation of Hashem as opposed to Nevuah. So we don't have it. So he was saying, you know why we don't have it? Because you didn't come up from Babel. If you would have all come, we would have had the same Nevuah and Ruach HaKadosh as we had in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. Frey, the Gemara of Rish Lakish, Mimishtar, Badi, Rabbi Rechana. You're telling me that Rish Lakish in public engaged in a conversation with Rabbi Rechana? That can't be. Why? Umay Rabbi Lazar, the Gemara asked the Yisrael, have a Rabbi Lazar. We find in the Gemara in Nida, Daf Chaf Amid Beis, he was referred to as the master of the land of Yisrael. Why was he called the master of the land of Yisrael? Because he knew how to distinguish between different Marois Dam, which blood was a Nida and which blood was not a Nida. So he, because of that mastery, he got this big title. V'lev Mishtar Rish Lakish Badei. If Rish Lakish would meet him in the street, he would not talk to him. Why wouldn't Rish Lakish talk to this great scholar, this great Talmud Chacham, Rav Lazar in the street? Because the man de mishtoy Rish Lakish badei b'shuk yavale iske b'lay sadi. If anyone saw Rish Lakish speaking to someone in the marketplace, that man must be of such stature that you would close a deal. You would know implicitly that that is a man of integrity. I don't need any witnesses. It could be a multi-billion-dollar deal, and I can make the deal without a single witness there. I know that nothing bad will come out of it. Because Rish Lakish would only speak to very few people. The reason, explains Ben Yoyada, in private, in the yeshiva, in his house, he would speak to everybody. But in public, A, since he had a past that was not good, he didn't want people to think, he made a takana that I'm not going to speak to anyone of ill repute, and I'm also not going to even speak to Talmid Chachamim. Why? Because if I don't know a certain Talmid Chacham, and people see that I'm not talking to him, they'll think that he's a person of ill repute, and that's why I'm not talking to him. So he made a get there, he's not talking to anybody. The only people he talked to were people of such stature that no one would think, oh, he's speaking to him, why isn't he speaking to him? That other fellow must be not so good. No, he spoke to only unusually exceptional people. And those exceptional, unusual people, which would not cause a bad reflection on the other people that he didn't speak to, those you could make a contract with without having any edim. So how could you say he spoke to Rabbi Barachana? Rabbi Lazar was much greater than Rabbi Barachana. And if he didn't speak to Rabbi Lazar, he certainly didn't speak to Rabbi Barachana. The Gemara continues, Amarapapa Shadi Gavra Benayu Einachanami, as Rashi explains, you have to change one of the participants in the story. Our story originally was that what? The Rish Lakish was swimming and Rabbi Rechana gave him his hand. Either you'll have to say, Oi Rish Lakish Havu, he was swimming, but Viziri, it was Ziri you gave the hand, and Ziri had such a reputation, he was one of these outstanding individuals that everybody would understand why Rish Lakish is speaking with him. Or you have to change the story as follows. Rabbi Barachana was the one who gave his hand, as we had in the original story. But Rabbi Lazar, the one who was swimming, was Rabbi Lazar. He also came to Rabbi Yochanan when Rish Lakish came back from swimming and his encounter with whoever it was, either Rabbi Barachana or Ziri, when he came back to Rabbi Yochanan, so he told him over what Rabbi Barachana said, that it's because the Jews didn't come back by Ezra, that's why we don't have the full Shechina in the second Beis HaMikdash. Said Rabbi Yochanan, no, lav hayna taima. That's not the reason. Inami slika kula b'mei Ezra le'avishari Shechina b'mei Shani. Even if every single Jew in Golas Babel would have returned to Eretz Yisrael, there still would not have been the Shekhinah de Bayis Sheni. Why? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Yafta Likim Liyafes, the Yishkan Balei Shein. What does that Pasuk mean as we conclude on Daf Yud Amud Aleph? Afal Gav, the Yafta Likim Liyafes, even though there's beauty, Hashem gave Yefes. He gave Koresh Melech Poras, was the one who allowed Ezra to bring the Jews back there to Shrol and start building the Beis HaMikdash. But Eina Shechina Shara Ela B'Olei Shein, the Shechina only dwells if Yefes has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. But since Yefes over here had to do with the Beis HaMikdash, that's why it could not have the full Shechina. It could only have the Baskal, even if all Jews had returned. The only way you could have the full Shechina is if Jews are totally involved. Once there's a Yad Akum Be'emtza, he has some Shachas, Kairish Malchparsh had some Shachas, it was not possible for there to be the full Shechina. After completing the Shir, I realized that I had made a mistake in this Gemara and Daf Testament Beis, because I said that Rabbi Baruch Hanna was the one who said to Rish Lakish that Hashem hates the Bavloim. Actually, it's the opposite. Rish Lakish was living together with Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Baruch Hanna, who stretched out his hand to pull Rish Lakish out of the water, was coming from Bavel, and Rish Lakish told him that Hashem hates the Bavloim, because you didn't come up in the days of Ezra, and therefore there's no full Shechina, there's only a bas koil in the Bayis Sheni. And we can prove this definitively from the last Rashi on the Amud. Rashi says, Ki asa Rav Shimon ben Lakish l'kamei de Rav Yoichanan v'sipur lo'ikach amartu lo'ilaploini. The Gemara says that later Rish Lakish came to Rav Yoichanan and told him what he had said to Rabbi Baruch Hanna, and Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan held that the reason there wasn't a full Shechina was because Koresh Melech Parash was involved. And as the Gemara brings on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the Pasuk, the Shechina is only Shara Ba'olei Shein. However, Rashi clearly says that Rish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan what he had said to Rabbi Baruch Hanna. Another proof is the Tosfos on this Amud, Divrei Maskil Rabbi Lazar, where Tosfos is commenting on the Gemara's question, how could Rish Lakish have spoken to Rabbi Baruch Hanna when Rish Lakish didn't even speak to Rabbi Lazar, who was the Mor de Asra de Yisrael? And Tosfos points out that Rish Lakish, we find the Gemara in Zvachim, did respond to Rabbi Lazar. He would not initiate a conversation even with Rabbi Lazar, but he responded to it. So we see clearly that that's the thrust of the Gemara's question here. How could we say that Rish Lakish initiated a conversation with Rabbi Baruch Hanna when Rish Lakish's custom was not to do so? He didn't even initiate the conversation with Rabbi Lazar, the Mor de'Aret Yisrael. So therefore it's clear from all these Rishonim that the correct pshat in the sugya here is that Rish Lakish was the one who initiated the conversation with Rabbi Baruch Hanna and said to him that Elokos Senina Lechu, that Hashem hates you for not coming back fully in the days of Ezra. And I just wanted to correct this mistake that I made.